I posted up on the Facebook page, not my personal page, but my fan page, a quote by Paul Zane Pilser, which all of you, I'm sure, are very familiar with, world-renowned economist. And he says that prosperity belongs to those who learn new things the fastest. And I wanted to start with that for those people that are on this call saying, oh, geez, you know, I don't trust social media, I don't believe in it, and we need to do things the way we've always done them. And I would encourage you to think about what Paul just said. Prosperity belongs to those who learn new things the fastest. It's a matter of maintaining the principles of the past, but learning new things and applying those principles in the present and in the future. So what I thought I'd do on this call is just run through a little bit of history of social media, just to kind of, for those people who don't really understand social media, they just haven't, nobody's really explained it at all to them. I wanted to keep this really basic today, so I want all of us to be on the same page. So a little bit of history, and then some interesting results of social media through this history and how it's affecting us today. And then finally, where do we start today? What do you do today? And what are some of the do's and don'ts in social media? And how can you, as we finish this call, how can you get off the call right now and get into action? So that's what my goal is here. So let's get started here. Let's first talk about social media. There's a term, Web 1.0, Web 2.0, Web 3.0. Social media, Web 1.0 was really began back in 1991 when the WWW was really released to the world. And so Web 1.0 went from 1991 to 2003. And basically, from that whole time, from 91 to 03, was mostly a read-only web, they talk about it. Web 1.0 is all about read-only, meaning there's a lot of published content, but very little user-generated content. All of us users, we really didn't generate a whole lot. We'd go onto the web and we'd read stuff that was being published. It was a read-only type of web. And by 96, there was about 45 million global users. All right, but then what happened was Web 2.0 came out, and that's really about 2004. And this is the big change. In 2004, Web 2.0 really changed the world because it became not a read-only web, but a read-write web. Try to say that. Read-write web. All right, and meaning there's a lot of published content, but here's the key. There's lots of user-generated content, lots of people writing about things, commenting on things, discussing things, chatting about things, and suddenly the users on there are generating so much content, it changed the whole game forever. And by 2006, there's over a billion global users. Now here's the key, and this is a principle that you've known forever, but you're going to see how it applies in social media. Nelson Report, 2007, listed the fact, 14% of people trust advertising, only 14%. 78% trust other consumer recommendations, and this is key because we've always known this. What's the best form of advertising? Word of mouth, right? Always has been. Of course, yeah, I know Wendy's eyes just got big because she knows. I'm going to say now it's word of mouth, but she's laughing, but I've got the phone. So word of mouth, but the point is that people trust other consumer recommendations. Well, that was always word of mouth, but when all this user-generated content started happening and everyone's chatting about stuff and everything's being discussed on the web in a big way, right then and there, business changed forever. And here's the point. Try to grab this. No longer do companies control the message of their brand anymore. The consumers do. It's what the consumers are saying about a company and a company's brand, and it's how the company responds to it that's the new game. It's not what businesses say anymore. It's what the customers say. Have you ever gone to Amazon and gone to buy a book? You know, the person can write whatever they want about that book, but isn't it true that you're going to read at least a couple of the reviews? Of course you are. If you buy a new camera, how many people before you buy a camera? I know we just got a new camera, and it's like before I bought the camera, I'm checking reviews. You're looking to see what all the other consumers say. The company can say, we've got the greatest widget ever. You know, they expect the company to say things like that. What they're looking for is, what are the consumers saying? What are the reviews? What are people talking about? What is the customer posting? And so now it's really all about the consumer. And why I'm telling you that is because Web 2.0 changed the game from control seat being in the company to control seat being in the consumer. Now, I'm going to get to social media in a second. I'm just trying to lay this out. So what's starting to happen and that is the whole marketing of the world is changing. And people don't realize this. They're completely missing the greatest revolutions ever happened in the history of the world. And that's what just boggles my mind, that people go, well, we'll just kind of keep doing things we've always done it. And it's like, are you kidding me? This is a phenomenon that's happening here. It's like a revolution. It's the consumers are taking over control of the brand and the success of companies. And so here's another stat. Let me give you a couple more things to kind of drive this point home. There's over 200 million Google searches every single day. Over 200 million Google searches every single day. So here's the key. What does that mean to you? It means this. Instead of trying to find customers, what businesses have to do is the new game is to be found by customers. It's a totally different gig. See, in the past, it was always, hey, we got to advertise, and just reach out and find new customers, right? But now it's about being found by the customers that are searching for your product or your service. See, in our game, it's not. We've always thought, hey, I got to go find somebody to be excited about my business, right? Well, it's not just now about finding someone who's interested in your business. It's about being found by someone who is searching for your business. And I know that's a little bit more on internet marketing, but it still ties into the whole game here. So it's about being found, not just about finding. Now, it's continuing to grow exponentially. 67%, this is an amazing statistic, 67% of global online population, everybody in the world that's online, 67% of them visit social networks and blogs as of last year. That was a Nielsen Online report. So two-thirds of all the people that are on the web actually visit social networks and blogs, and it's growing. So it's absolutely huge. And here's what happened to me about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, it was May of 2008. I was reading an article by Gary Vaynerchuk, and he just came out with his book, Crush It. And if you haven't gotten a hold of that, get a hold of that book. But it was almost 2 years ago now. I was reading an article, and here's what he said. He said, quote, I'd much rather have 1 million friends than $10 million. And I don't know how many people listening right now have the same response that I had. I mean, I thought 1 million friends versus $10 million. I'm thinking, was this guy just a social nut or or what? I mean, it doesn't make any sense because, see, I always looked at all these social networks and MySpace, all that, as just a total waste of time. It was for people who weren't focused on goals and achieving and everything. It was just, okay, great, kind of, you know, reconnect with friends from high school that you didn't really want to connect with even when high school 25 years ago, but now you got to be nice to them now. It was like, it's just sort of bizarre. So I just didn't quite understand it. Now he wanted 1 million people that were his friends. But further in the article, here was the final clincher sentence. He said, because today social equity trumps private equity. Social equity trumps private equity. And the point was, because when you start understanding what's happening, that it's not what the company promotes about their company anymore, it's what the consumers are dialoguing and talking and that's going to determine the success of their brand, then suddenly it's really, really important that you have a lot of social equity. And so what he said is, man, with 1 million friends, I could monetize way more than $10 million. I can monetize way more than $10 million out of those 1 million friends. So now it's not just about just being social. It's about being engaged in truly where marketing is going, and that is consumer-based marketing, social media marketing, internet marketing. So we want to build our social equity. We want to build that, and we want to build it the right way. So here's the two questions that I'm going to talk about today. First of all, where do we start? All right. Secondly, how do we do it correctly? All right. So where do we start? The question we need to ask is, who's our target, or as Mark Crawford likes to say, who's our market? Right. Who's our market? Let's look at the main social media sites. First of all, you've got MySpace. MySpace is absolutely essential for artists and entertainers because MySpace is really big on music. It's that's why the number one time people spend on social media sites is still highest on MySpace because of the music primarily. People listen a lot on there, but it's typically a young crowd and it's essential for artists and entertainers. Facebook is the dominant force. It's the if you want to reach the 18 to 35 crowd. It's Facebook. There's over 300 million active users. It's by far the fastest growing, and it's the fastest growing demographic is 35 plus crowd. So Facebook is standing. In our business, Facebook is an absolute must. Affluent professionals are on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is another social media site, but it's more for business professionals. Twitter is the fourth one I'll mention, and really, Twitter, literally anything, it's anything you want. It's everything. And Twitter is a kind of a different category of its own. So what I'd recommend for brand new people to start with is to sign up. First, step one, all right, step one is to sign up, get involved. If you don't already have a Facebook page, I'd recommend you getting a Facebook page. If you don't have a Twitter, get Twitter and possibly even get also signed up on LinkedIn. Those would be the three that I'd recommend you starting with. And it's real easy to sign up, and it doesn't cost anything. You just go there and just follow the instructions and get yourself signed up. All right. Now, number two is to use these things correctly. Now, once we're signed up, let's use these correctly. And let me just talk a little bit about some of the etiquette and some of the differences, because as an organization, we're going to get more and more involved with the ability to send out electronic presentations and build the business through the web. But there's some really important do's and don'ts, just like there are offline when you're communicating and working with people. And so here's the key. If you're taking notes at all, then write this one down, all right? Social media is not about making money. It's about building relationships, all right? And one of the biggest objections I hear from people not involved in social media is they say, well, you know what, I'm just more into relationships. And I just start laughing inside because I'm like, well, first of all, Wendy and I met online. So I always kind of point out, I'm pretty confident that you can turn an online meeting into an offline relationship. I mean, we're married, so I think we did that fairly effectively. And so you could do it to any degree. Apparently, I went all the way with a marriage here. So, yeah, you can build relationships, but I would submit to you that it's actually easier to build even greater relationships initially online. And that's really what the focus is all about. If you go onto social media with the intent of making money, then you've got it backwards, and you're going to come across like somebody who's there just to make money. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. It's not going to go over well. You go into social media with the intent of building relationships and adding value. See, the key here is this. People buy from those that they know, like, and trust. People buy from those that they know, like, and trust. So it's about people, not about companies. People don't want to buy from companies. They want to buy from people. That's why another reason why when you put your social media site up or when you sign up, don't put a picture of your company logo, your Getchell Enterprises, Inc. logo kind of thing. Don't put a picture of your dog, right? Put a picture of you because people want to see you. They want to connect with a face. They want to build a relationship. It's so important. I see people put all kinds of funny little profiles up, and it's like, well, that's fine, but it's certainly not going to help them in building relationships. And why do you want to build relationships? Because you want to build relationships. People buy from those people they know, like, and trust. So here's the key. All right, let me give you three keys here and a couple other etiquette items here. Number one, when you're involved in social media and you're communicating, right, here's what we want to do. Listen, contribute, and connect. It's a conversation. Just like offline, it's a conversation. All right. You want to listen, you want to contribute, you want to connect. And here is an absolute, you gotta star this one. Provide content, not commercials. provide content, not commercials. See, my biggest concern about legacy getting involved in social media, now that we're going to have an online presentation and we'll be able to share this, is what we don't want to do is we don't want to be totally unprofessional and run around and blast this link to this presentation all over the web as a commercial, because it's just totally ineffective. It's not professional. It's spamming, basically, is what it is, and I'll talk more about that in a second. That is a traditional advertising approach, and it doesn't work in social media. Let me give you an analogy that a lot of people use in this social media world. But social media is like a party, right? And if you think about what you've learned in your lifetime about etiquette at a party and just social etiquette when you're with people, and you apply the same principles online, you're going to do just fine. But if you ignore all those principles, then you're going to be rejected. All right. So, for instance, if you go to a party and you walk into the party and you just start talking all about yourself constantly, I mean, total narcissism. You're just like, let me tell you about this, and let me tell you about that, and this and that, and this and that, and this and that, and you're just constantly telling everybody everything about you. How long do you think people are going to stand around listening to you? You know, I mean, pretty soon, there ain't going to be anybody in the room that you're in. You're just going to be like this megaphone, blah, 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 and you're just constantly talking. And so you don't want to do that. You don't want to just constantly be chattering. Sometimes people who are on Twitter, they're like Twitter chatterboxes. I mean, every 2 seconds they're updating. They're like, hey, I just left the living room. Now I'm in the kitchen. You know, and now I'm walking upstairs. And it's like they're way over tweeting. If you're involved in Twitter, it's just like, okay, every so often, good, you know, but not every 5 minutes. It fills up everybody's screen, and they're constantly hearing every minute of your day. So don't just talk about yourself. Twitter, just let me take a side note here. A lot of people don't understand Twitter, including myself. I've been doing a lot of research, and I'm way behind on Twitter right now. So help me out. Go to twitter.com/ChuckGetchum and sign up on my Twitter, because I didn't understand it all. It's like I didn't get it. Basically, Twitter is what they call a microblog, and what it is. For those who are familiar with like Facebook, where you put your status, basically Twitter is just your status. It's just kind of the most important thought. It's not just what are you doing, it's kind of what are you thinking or what are you up to, and you're sharing that. But more importantly than just sharing what you're doing, just like back to that party analogy, comment on what other people are doing. The experts that I've talked to in Twitter said they spend more time retweeting, sending other people's tweets, they call it, or commenting on other people's tweets than they do sending their own. Now, it's important to send your own because you're contributing your own value, but it's important, it's conversation. Remember, social media is conversation. So you want to spend more time commenting on other people's tweets than just yourself, just like in a party. It's like, you know, whenever I'm in a social event, my goal is always to know more about everybody else than they know about me. My goal is always to ask more questions to them than they ask of me. And it's really funny when you run into somebody who thinks the same way, because then there's like this little battle going on, who can ask more questions, who can find out more about the other person. It's usually very easy, because 99% of the world is happy to be the source of the talking, you know. So you just like in a party online, you want to be doing the same thing. You want to be adding value. So how do you do that? Well, after you sign up on Twitter, you want to be able to comment on other people's tweets, what they put out. If you're on Facebook, go to people's pages and comment on what they've put up there. Comment on their photos, on their posts, on their thoughts, on their stories. And not just comment like, that's nice, which is fine, but also add value. See, the key here is that if you want to be known, liked, and trusted, and have people interested in you, then share something interesting. One of the keys of having people interested in you is to be interesting, right? So when you comment on stuff, add value. Make an opinion on something. Share something that's interesting. People go, well, that's interesting. All right, now here's the key. Don't spam. All right. In other words, what people do all the time is they'll look at something on Facebook, say, and somebody's talking about something, and they'll say, Oh, that's a great post. But if you want to really see an awesome business, check out my link. And it's like, you know what, you just spammed. You didn't really add any value there at all. If what instead in putting your links, put value, put something up there that is contributing to the conversation. And then if people read that, then what they'll say is, wow, that person's sharp. That was a great ad. And they'll click on you, and then they can go back to your site and actually then get more involved in whatever it is that you have to offer. See, the way it works in social media is it's value first. That's what you want to understand. It's not advertising first. That's the old way of business, and it's not appreciated. Just like in a party, you don't run in there. And imagine if you just ran into a party, and you're like, hey, everybody, I want to get everybody's attention. You know, I'm here, and I've got this new presentation. Everybody here, let me hand out flyers so, you know, tell you all about it. I mean, it'd be like, who is this person? You know, I mean, it just wouldn't work. But if you walked around and you made friends and you asked questions and you contributed to conversations, everybody would be like, hey, who is that person? I want to know about that person, and now they're going to be interested in you, and they're going to look to find out more about your business. The way you want to look at Facebook is like your Facebook page is like your home, right? Somebody else's Facebook page is like their home. And when a whole bunch of people are at a home, it's a party, right? So you want to have good etiquette at that party. Now, if you go to somebody's home and you just post a sign about your business in their home, it's like, you know, if you post a link to your business on their page, all right, unsolicited, you just put that there. It's like going to somebody's house and staking a billboard in their front grass saying, come see my business, you know, and giving the address of your business down the street. It's like, how appreciative would they be of that? It'd be like, did you just stick a sign in my front yard about your business? That's not only odd, it's rude, and it's like strange. How many people are going to be driving by going, oh, hey, look at Bill's yard. You know, he's got John's, you know, barbershop down the street. Guess we should go get our hair cut. I mean, everyone look at that like, why is that sign in the so-and-so's yard? And that's how it is when you just post these blanket spam messages about your business on somebody's site. It's just like, oh, that, why'd they do that? They're just trying to get people know a lot of cars drive by so-and-so's house, and so they're just trying to get free advertising. But again, people buy from those they know, like, and trust. So instead of spamming that up there, instead add some value that people will find you interesting. All right, so at any rate, I hope I'm kind of driving that point home. The reason I am is I want us to be professionals. We can absolutely take this cutting-edge technology that we're getting here and really use it in a way that can be awesome on the web, and we can look professional because we have just a little bit of the social media etiquette understanding. Again, if you have any question in your mind, always just go back to what you know. How would you act in any other social environment? How do you respond? Are you the talker? Are you the listener? Do you contribute to the conversation? Do you put bumper stickers on other people's cars and posts and signs in their yard? I don't think so, right? But you certainly build relationships, and then they want to come to your store, your business. They want to see what you're all about. All right, so hope that's making sense. Now, let me just kind of finish kind of nailing down the power of online and then give you a few to-dos, okay? So first of all, the power of online, number one, I've got 5 points here. Number one is the power of online is you can find niches way better online than really even offline. And what I mean by that is this. In our business all the time, people are like, man, I just blasted through my list, so how do I meet people, right? How do I grow my list? And a good response to that is typically, in history, has always been, well, what are you interested in, right? Whatever you're interested in, why don't you go look at that? And so I would always say, well, I love homes. Well, good. Then go to some model homes or go to an area that's got some homes for sale and go there. And it's not the home that's really you're looking for. It's the person that also is interested in that same sort of thing, because now you already obviously have something in common. It's like, hey, you know what? You're here looking at this home too. Ah, fantastic. Yeah, do you live around here? No, you're looking to upgrade into this or whatever. You start dialoguing. You ask them questions about them, and you know that you have something in common. You both have a common interest. Make sense? Right? Well, that's what we've always done over the years, and you build a relationship. It's a lot easier when it's with somebody you obviously have something in common with. That's where you start. Relationships start based on something you have in common, and then you ask questions, build rapport, and next thing you know, you can see if there's a need that you can fill there. Well, that's fine, but online, it's way more effective. Now, I'm not suggesting you don't do that offline. Of course you do, right? You don't just turn off what you've done in the past, but add the power of online niche finding, and that is like with Twitter. I really recommend everybody go to search.twitter.com, search.twitter.com. And in there, by typing that in, there'll be a box that'll come up, and you can type anything that you want. And what it will do is it will search all the things that people are saying out there, all the tweets that are going out, and anybody anywhere on Twitter that's talking about that will pop up. And you can see, hey, they're talking about that. So what is your passion is the question. What are you interested in? What are your hobbies? What are your likes? What are you an expert in? See, it's easiest to add value in stuff that you already have knowledge in, right? It's fun to add value in stuff that you have a passion about. And typically, you have knowledge about things you're passionate about. So if you love coin collecting, well, then go to search.twitter.com and type in coin collecting. And all the everybody that's talking about coin collecting will pop up right there. Well, guess what? See what somebody's saying and then comment on what they're saying and add some value to what they're saying. Join in the conversation. Don't just stand there. It's like at a party. You don't just stand there the whole night. Just listen to everybody else. Join in. Add a comment. And so it's easy to add a comment to something that you're familiar with. Well, now you add a comment, and it's like, bam, now you're starting to build a relationship, right? And say, hey, what do you do if you're at an event? You say, hey, here's my card. They say, here's my card, right? If it's a business networking event. If it's just a friend at a party, you say, hey, here's my number. What's your number? Let's get in touch. Well, same thing here. Now you say, hey, you know what? Let me click as you as a friend. You know, here's my site. You befriend me, and, you know, let's stay in touch. And so that's how you literally can build a list with people that you have something in common with. The other thing I'd recommend, and Twitter particularly, you can really build a list quickly on Twitter, is search the people who are experts in whatever you're interested in, with personal growth, leadership development, network marketing, or anything else that you have an interest in. Find people that are like the leaders, the influencers, and a lot of times it's easy to find them because if you type in twitter.com/ and their name, oftentimes that's where their site is. So it's easy to find specific people. But find people that are leaders and then look at who's following them. Look at who their friends are because oftentimes those are going to be great people that you're going to want to know as well. And so then you can click on their friends or their followers and build a great list of people that you can then not market to, right, because people buy from those they know, like, and trust, but actually start building conversation with, building relationships with right there. All right, same thing on Facebook. You can go to Facebook. There's a search box right there at the top. Type in anything you're interested in. Type in coin collecting again. Type in whatever it is that you have a passion about, that you're interested in, and type it in, and you're going to see all kinds of different pages and different groups and things that are up there that you can become a part of. And again, go to that party. Join in the conversation. Contribute. Build some relationships. And next thing you know, you've got a whole other list that way as well. So the number one power of the online marketing ability here is to find niches way better, way more effectively. Number two is that the added value stays, which allows you to be found. Let me explain this. If you normally go to an offline party and you're in a conversation and you add value and people go, wow, that was great, you know, that conversation, I want to get to know you, fantastic. But when you all leave, you left. In other words, your great value-add comments aren't still floating around in that person's house. You know, I mean, it was a live event. The live event ended. It's over. If you go prospecting, so to speak, and you're out and about, if you go into the open house and nobody's in there and then you leave, and then the sharpest prospect in the world who's totally looking walks into that house right after you left, they're not going to see you, so no connection's made. The difference is online, those value adds stay. When you post something, and you add something, that stays. And so other people don't actually have to be there the same time you are. They can show up later and actually see that and make that connection. So it's really powerful. It's kind of like if a real estate agent was selling a home, but the only time anybody knew is when they stood in front of the home in real time. They don't stand in front of the home in real time and say, "Hey, I'm selling this house. Anybody interested, you know, that's driving by who sees me right now in real time in front of this house, stop, I'll sell you this house." They don't do that. What do? They post a sign, right? That's when they actually do put a sign in somebody's yard. They post a sign because they want people to know this house is for sale. So even though the realtor then leaves, the sign remains behind, and people who drive by at a later time go, "Hey, look, that house is for sale. You know, let's get in touch with that realtor." That's the power of those signs. Well, it's the same thing on these on Facebook and Twitter and everything else, that you're able to add a post and its value. Somebody else then comes at a later time, sees that value add, and says, "Wow, that's really good. That person's interesting. I'm going to click on them, and I'm going to connect with that person." And so what happens is now you're being found instead of always having to go out to find. Right? No longer are you just searching for people who would be great to be friends with and to be a part of your business, but now people will actually find you. And so the value add stays, and so it makes your time much more effective. In other words, if you spend an hour in real offline prospecting, that hour is it. Once that hour is done prospecting, you're done. But if you spend an hour, quote, adding value on social media sites, that hour is not done once you finish. That value stays for indefinitely, and who knows when somebody's going to come across that and you're going to make that connection. So it's a much more greater return on investment of time. All right. Thirdly, it's your time and no cost, meaning it's really hard to go to open houses at midnight. They just typically aren't open. So suddenly offline, oftentimes you have to do things on times that doesn't work into your schedule. The web's 24/7, so you can work on it 5 minutes, you can work on it 10 minutes at a time, you can work at it at 1 o'clock in the morning, if you can't sleep, come down, do some, whatever, it's based on your time and there's no cost. It's in your home, it's on your cell phone or your computer, it doesn't cost anything, doesn't cost any time, very, very efficient, very, very cost effective. So that's a huge advantage right there. I know how busy everybody is, and so this is a great way to literally make contacts, expand your list on your own time and no cost. All right, number four, trying to wrap this up here. Number four, the information for offline meetings is invaluable. In other words, when you're going to go to actually meet somebody face-to-face, it is so smart to actually go on Facebook and see if they're already on Facebook. Lance was talking to me about how he's been doing this for a long time. Going and connecting with, looking at people face-to-face, and or before you go meet with them face-to-face, go to their Facebook page and learn about them. You can see all their photos, they're taking their family fishing, you can see all the different things that they're into and they talk about, and you can really get to know somebody so much better because of all the information that they've posted on their site, versus just meeting up with somebody cold at a meeting, you don't even know anything about them, and you spend all this time trying to build some rapport. But what a difference when you come and you say, "Hey, you know what, I just happened to glance on Facebook and saw those great pictures of yours and blah, blah, blah," and you just build an instant rapport and connection. It's so much more effective. And then afterwards, and this is the fifth point, it increases the ability to develop relationships, prospects, and new team members afterwards. There's something powerful and safe about making connections on Facebook and Twitter and even LinkedIn after the live meeting. In other words, you have a live meeting, you go back home, and you send a friend request through Facebook, say, and then you start dialoguing Facebook and commenting on their pictures and their posts and various things, and you're able to build a friendship really, really effectively through that medium, way more than you could if you didn't use it, because then you just go home and you're like, "Okay, I'll call you in 2 days," and there's like no dialogue in those 2 days, and then it's kind of a cold call 2 days later, and you're like, man, trying to build this new relationship, whereas in just a matter of fractions of that time, you can build a very deep relationship on all kinds of different things by using that Facebook interaction. So at any rate, the power of online, once you start really getting it in your head, is like, Are you kidding me? This is unbelievable, and it will absolutely dominate the future of marketing and of the social interactions. So does it mean offline is dead and we shouldn't be involved with people offline? No, of course, it's a balance, obviously. In fact, I would encourage you to set a certain amount of time that you're going to spend online with online social media and that sort of thing, and then make sure you get offline and meet people belly to belly, as they say. So at any rate, I hope some of that makes sense to you. So here's what I would suggest to do to get going here. Number one, get registered in the social media world. Most likely that would be Facebook, Twitter, and perhaps LinkedIn. Number two, start adding value. You know, if we really got involved in this heavily, I would suggest you brand yourself and create your own site and do a lot of these things. But you don't need to do that, really. All you really need to do is go add value on everybody else's pages. So just get registered and get around and start posting comments and add value and build, connect with people is the point, and build relationships. And as you're doing that, then finally what you're going to see is you're growing your list. You're growing your list. And then as we release and launch this web-based platform where you can share the Monavie presentation online, you're not going to be spamming it out. You're not going to just be sending it to everybody. You're actually going to be sharing it with your new friends. And everybody knows the effectiveness of a warm market versus a cold market, and the professionalism as well. So you guys, I can't even tell you how excited I am about just moving our industry forward using technology, using the power of the internet and social media to build relationships, to expand your connections and your influence. And I believe that this is truly going to absolutely revolutionize your business when you use it the right way. It's going to take the limits off. It levels a playing field and gives you the power to say, you know what, there's no more excuses now. So have a great weekend, everybody, and I will talk to you soon.